This is Talking to America. Our guest today is Doug Friesen. This is part two of an interview with Doug about his nasty experience with the BATFE. I'm your host, Aaron Zellman, and we welcome you again. Some of the people who came to your aid, who are working for you in your efforts to get the truth out to the jury, and one of the fellows you have on your side is Len Savage, who's been on our program before. He's an expert witness who was not loved in the least bit by the ATF folks. He has a habit of telling the truth and helping people understand difficult and complex issues very simply. Why don't we start with Len Savage and his contributions to your effort?
I mean, this is kind of a shameless plug for your organization and the video, The Gang, but I got in touch with Len Savage as a result of watching the video, The Gang, or the DVD that you produced. You can tell I'm getting old because I say video. But he introduced me to so many other people. Len Savage was an absolutely key point in the testimony and just helping put together the case. And I would heartily recommend for any attorney that is ever going to go up against the ATF to watch The Gang and to just believe everything that's in there, because everything that's in there is the truth. But that's how I originally got to Len Savage. Len Savage runs designs weapons. That's his specialty. It's what he does. He has a company called Historic Arms, LLC. And when I contacted him, it was kind of interesting because he has been a witness a number of times before. He was at first guarded because he wanted to make sure that he was on the righteous side of what happened. And as we talked and I sent him some of the material, he got more and more interested, and he was just an absolute lifesaver. He is so extremely knowledgeable about guns, their design, what happens. Just as kind of a little aside, he was doing some experiments in terms of some of the stamping of numbers and that, and he was able to, it just fascinated me because I have no ability in this, but he hit a number, imprinted a number on a piece of metal pipe and looked at it and said, that looks like it's 39 thousandths of an inch deep. And when we measured it, that was within 2 thousandths of what it was. And just to be able to look at that and tell that was just fascinating to me. But his knowledge is so wide-ranging, and he can talk in clear English. He is not intimidated, and he can really get across to the jury exactly what's happening. And he has paid a huge price for being willing to stand up to the ATF. Right now, as funny as it sounds, the ATF has arrested one of his guns. He manufactures prototypes, and specifically actions that do not function. He likes to take military weapons that were designed to fire automatically and have them fire semi-automatically so that there is a civilian version, if you will, of these. In an attempt to, I think, a blatant attempt to get back at him for having the temerity to tell the truth, he has had one of his guns arrested and is now on trial. And the whole problem for that is, of course, he's got to spend money now defending his design, and every day or week or month that goes by, he's being denied revenue from that. And yet, if somebody calls him, I mean, he is there and he will go the distance. His work was just, without him, quite frankly, I think the case would have been lost.
There's another fellow who enters into this, whose name is Eric Larson, who is labored long and hard in the vineyards of trying to bring the truth out about the sloppy, I guess you could call it, record-keeping of ATF.
Absolutely. And Eric Larson was an absolute godsend. His knowledge in reference to the federal Class 3 database, the NFRTR, is as deep as anybody that I have ever seen. I think he is the number one guy in the nation as far as I'm concerned. And he sat down and put together what I believe to be, and of course, just because it was my case, I did a lot. I didn't represent myself, but I did a tremendous amount of research on it. And because of him, we were able to file a motion in limine that was not successful, although I think it should have been, but it is the most complete indictment, I think, of the NFRTR anywhere in any case. It is just an incredibly thorough brief. He is giving that to other people with my permission, and if anybody ever wants it, they can have it from me, but it is a history of the document, of the problems that exist in the federal database, that have always existed in the federal database. He talks about in there how people have been thrown, data entry people that had requirements of putting so many entries in a day and were just going too slow, just threw them away. And of course, the problem with that is that if you have a machine gun or any Class 3 item, and it isn't registered to you up in the federal database, then you're guilty. That's just the way it is. They use that database all the time for prosecuting. And if that database is different than yours, than your number, and you don't have the paperwork to prove it, they're going to prosecute you. And he has, I don't know anybody that knows more about the NFRTR than he does.
You know, just for what it's worth, in the gang we have an example of a ATF inspector acknowledging that the database is wrong.
That's exactly right.
He did it on film. It was a security camera who caught the conversation.
That's exactly right, and that's one of the reasons that I was looking at that once again, because you guys caught them admitting that there were like 400 and some erroneous entries for this one dealer. I mean, it was just incredible.
It's the U.S. government. Nothing's really incredible. I mean, well, then enters a very interesting fellow. This has got to be the real quirk. His name is Fritz Schuren, and I don't think the government wanted to hear him say a word, but why don't you tell us what Fritz had to say?
Dr. Fritz Schuren is one of the most brilliant minds, has one of the most brilliant minds I have ever met in my life. I'd like to think that I'm not a dummy, but this gentleman is so smart. I mean, he's just awesome in the knowledge that he has. He's a statistician. And he has worked hand-in-hand with Eric Larson to analyze the federal database, the NFRTR, and show the problems that exist with it. He's testified in front of U.S. congressional committees, he's wrote some articles in reference to it, and he is nothing short of a brilliant genius. And he came down to testify. The government didn't want him testifying, tried to keep him out. Of course, with his credentials, there was simply no way to do that. And his conclusion after going through Eric Larson's material was that while the federal database had its uses, that it was not statistically accurate enough to be able to be used to convict somebody because it simply didn't have the degree of reliability needed, even under the government accounting office practices, to make it beyond reasonable doubt, if you will. And so, which is the test, of course, in criminal cases. And I am still speechless as I am talking to you about it here, because he is so smart and he knows this stuff so well. He's just a scary individual with the depth of his knowledge.
I guess he's able to prove that figures don't lie, but liars figure.
I think that is a very, very accurate analysis. He is not a gun guy, but he is just very interested in doing the right thing. Nice, nice guy, a genuinely nice guy.
So after this happens, now there's a break-in in your office, right?
Actually, the break-in at my office occurred before they filed charges. I happen to live about 6 blocks from my office. I'm really blessed in that. And the security service that I have has instructions that when the alarm goes off, they're to call me in case I know of what's going on, and then if I instruct them to call the police. And in the 13 years that I've been here, it's probably gone off, I don't know, 12, 13 times. And the response time for the police officers is relatively slow, as a general rule, because, you know, a burglary isn't, you know, to a business isn't a life-threatening thing, you know, in the middle of the night. So what happened was somebody kicked in the door to my basement. I got here, and it was the only time in all these response times that the police actually beat me here. And, surprisingly enough, they had a dog that was trained, and this is in quotes, but trained to search out for people that they ran through my office. And I, of course, let them, being innocent at the time. Only to find out later on that this dog was actually a drug dog, and this had been engineered to search my office for drugs to see whether I had any drugs here in the office. Now, obviously, they didn't find any, but it was interesting to find out that this dog that was, quote, trained to hunt for people was actually a drug dog that was that had been running through my office.
Well, they're trying to reach for something at this point, aren't they?
Yeah.
And then I understand you're being put on the terrorist watch list?
I was put on the terrorist watch list. I didn't know about this until one evening when I was going hunting, and I was late getting to where I was going, and I had to get up early the next morning to hunt, and I was speeding, and a highway patrol officer stopped me, and we ended up spending about a half hour beside the road. And to make a very long story short, they access a different database than some of the local jurisdictions do. And at the end, he informed me that I was on a national terrorist database, the same database that Osama bin Laden is on, I was on. So I call up the FBI, because they're the ones that administer this, and I said, hey, here I'm on this, and I had been able to confirm that through another police officer friend of mine. I hear that I'm on this list. Can you tell me why? Nope, it's an ongoing investigation. We can't tell you why. Can you tell me what it takes to get on the list? Nope, can't tell you what it does. Well, I finally had to hire an attorney, and he talked to the U.S. attorney, and I got my name off. But I have subsequently found out that a law enforcement official with one phone call can get anybody put on the National Terrorist Database, and there is no requirements for it to go there. The police officer just has to want you there, and you're there.
Fascinating. Let's go on to the final conclusion of your trial. I mean, what was the final outcome?
2 days before trial, my attorney called me into his office. The case had been taken out of the assistant U.S. attorney's hands that was handling it, and they were offering me a records-keeping violation for which the statute of limitations had already run, which would be a misdemeanor, and they would drop all five of the felony counts. I was not, at the time, predisposed to do that because I felt that we had a great case. We had figured out all of the, even close to weaknesses after the first time. However, my attorney beat some sense into my head because any time you can get a misdemeanor and get five felonies dismissed, you just need to do this. I mean, it's just not worth taking a chance on. And so that's the end conclusion, was that I pled to a misdemeanor records-keeping violation. I had to waive the statute of limitations because I had turned in all of my records back in 2004. And the specific records-keeping violation that I did plead to is I didn't have a summary sheet of my dispositions. You have to have a summary sheet of your acquisitions and a summary sheet of your dispositions. Instead of the summary sheet, I had the yellow form that everybody fills out, the 4473s. I had them all attached in order, so I had actually more information than I had to have, but I didn't have a summary sheet of the 4473s, and so that was the records-keeping misdemeanor that I ended up pleading to. And they dropped all five of the felonies.
Okay. Would you like to talk about the federal database some more, or what gun owners need to know about this? Or?
Absolutely. And I will tell you that we had, my attorney did an excellent job. We had unprecedented access to the federal database, the NFRTR. My gun, and they call them birthing documents, but when a manufacturer wants to register a new gun, they have to send in this form, and it's called a birthing document. There were 25 guns on this form. I cannot find any other case. I haven't found any other case where the government has allowed any access to any other guns that are on the NFRTR, because technically it's tax information, so it's kept secret. In this particular case, in my particular case, I was given access to all 25 of the guns that were born at the same time mine was, mine and 24 others. Len Savage came down. We did a detailed, in-depth analysis of every one of those guns. And at the conclusion of it, I can tell you that there was a 48% discrepancy between what the federal database showed and what the actual guns were that were there. 48% error rate. If you take the testimony of the manufacturer of those guns, there was a 78% error rate. Now, I am not saying that the entire database is flawed to that extent, but once again, as in the video that you produced, The Gang, where you have Mr. Busey saying that there was an error rate when he came into office of 40 to 50%. And, of course, that roll call training tape is available online and at a number of different sources. And we got it and actually got part of it played in the trial. But the fascinating thing was, is he uses the numbers 40 to 50% error rate, and I can prove that of the 25 guns that I had access to, there was a 48% error rate in terms of the description, and that is not counting the fact that there were two different birthing documents for the gun itself.
We might want to remind people that Mr. Busey also told his agents that when they go into court, that they commit perjury by always saying that the database is 100% correct.
Absolutely.
Amazing. Anyway, well, that's all in the film.
It is all in the film, and you're absolutely right. He says, we always testify it's 100% accurate, even though we know this isn't true.
What do you suggest that people do to defend themselves or to combat the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives?
Obviously, the first thing to do is not to talk to them at all. Just not say a word. Because whatever you say, they are going to take and twist. I have, since this incident, I have advised my clients that are federal firearm holders to set up a video of their premises so that if the ATF comes, they can video the entire thing and be able to audio it also. I think you have to look for an attorney that doesn't mind fighting. You can't have one that's just willing to go along with the system. You've got to have one that is willing to fight, and you've got to have one that knows something about guns and the national database or is willing to learn and that don't mind a good fight because it's going to be one. And what's so tiring, I think, and what has to be kept in mind is that literally every statement they make has to be evaluated. Nothing can be taken as truthful on the face of it because, as in the case of the one lady that I was telling you about, she told the same story in her early interviews and late interviews, and they wrote them down directly opposite. So you've just got to be prepared for that and go over and replow every ground, analyze every statement, and you've got to be willing to take the risk to do that. And they're not called the 800-pound gorilla for nothing. I think that they have a new term that I have been introduced to, and it's called an economic Waco. And that is, while they're not actually going to burn you down now, they have such resources available that they will try and tire you out and make you spend so much money that at the end of the time you are burned down financially. And then they'll just go on to the next person. They don't care.
Did these things happen to you during the Bush administration, if I'm not mistaken?
Correct.
So now that we have the Obama annoids running the country, things are only going to get worse. So people should heed your words.
You know, we say that, and of course, I am as afraid as anybody else of what's going to happen with the guns. I mean, obviously, the people that are in power now don't like it, don't like the guns. Interesting, though, enough, Ted Stevens' case and the prosecutorial misconduct and the lying that occurred in that case, you know, hopefully maybe one of the good things that will come is if anybody can get the government to start looking at itself in the way that I think that there's just kind of an institutionalized perjury that goes on with the ATF. It's kind of for lack of a better word, a bunker mentality. It's us against them, and we've got to do whatever we've got to do to get them.
Well, you're right. The light of day has to shine on the government, or there will be no light for us. Would you like to give people some contact information?
Absolutely. My name is Doug Friesen. It's F-R-I-E-S-E-N. And you can reach me at doug@dougfriesen.com. And my telephone number is 405-239-2722. And anybody that has any questions, if they've got a case or wants any of the documents that I have, I'll be more than happy to furnish them, because I've got boxes and boxes of them at this point.
Well, Doug, I want to thank you very much for being our guest today on Talking to America. Our guest again has been Doug Fries, an attorney at law, who's been talking about the nightmare he's had with the ATF and how they finally had to back off because they were proven to be the frauds they are. I've been your host, Aaron Zellman, and again, I want to remind you, if you don't defend your rights, don't complain when you lose them.
Opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect those of JPFO.org or its members. Talkin' to America is a production of JPFO.org.